I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. My guest on the show today is Dr. P. Ramasamy, who is the former Penang Deputy Chief Minister, a post that he held for 15 years, that's three terms, from 2008 until last August. Now, he recently launched a new political party to represent the interests of Indians in Malaysia. The United for the Rights of Malaysians Party will be known as URUMAI, which is short for rights in Tamil. Now, he's here today wearing the hat of chairman of the party Interim Leadership Council. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being with me, Prof. I appreciate you taking time and making the trip down to KL.
Thank you, Melissa, for inviting me to ASTRO.
Okay.
It's a pleasure to discuss matters with you.
So I'm going to jump right in and talk about this party.
Sure.
Why did you establish URUMAI, and what were the specific issues or gaps that you wanted to address that you think existing political parties in the system are not addressing for ethnic Indians?
Thank you very much, Melissa. I think this is a very pertinent question. I think I have addressed a question like this in, I think, one or two forums lately. The reason we decided to form a new party is because of a lacuna. That means there's a gap in political representation of Indians in this country. And, you know, I've been in DAP for 18 years. And for 15 years, I held the position of a Deputy Chief Minister in Penang. Okay, Penang. And 18 years back, I thought the DAP was a party that I should join. And because I think that time they were in the opposition, and I could, and then I saw them fighting for the rights of all Malaysians. No, Malaysians. Now, I think after 18 years, I think DAP is a different party now. It's called a multiracial party. And I don't think DAP is any different from PKR, which is also a multiracial party, headed by President and who is a former present Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim. So I think why I formed this party is because the multiracial parties, I think they are in the name, and you don't see the kind of multiracialism you saw in these parties when they were in the opposition. Today, I think they are quite comfortable in power and positions. And I think multiracialism exists in theory. But actual fact, you find they do not really translate their multiracialism in terms of effective representation of what I call it of communities like Indians. Mm. You know, Indians are basically 75% members of the working class. And they have been in this country for more than 200 years. And you find this kind of multiracialism. There's nothing wrong with multiracialism per se. Mm. But I think the way it has been put in practice in this country, you find that it doesn't really address some of the serious grievances of ethnic communities like Indians.
So you say it's only in name, only in theory.
Exactly, it's only in name, yeah.
Prof, can I ask you about the reaction that has come out since you announced this party? There are many in Malaysia who are disillusioned with the legacy of race-based political parties.
Yes.
They want to move away from ethno-chauvinism. What would you say to them? Why you think there really still needs to be a new race-based party in Malaysia?
Yeah, I think there were. This is one of the concerns in Malaysian politics is very much race or religion based, and there have been moves in the past to move away from that. But then I think when the entire politics of this country is race-based or religion-based, you find at times to move away from it has not been very successful. And I think the example of multiracial parties, there's nothing wrong with multiracialism, I think. But the way it has been put in practice is something, it raises a lot of questions, whether this form of representation is the best form. So I'm saying that there's nothing wrong with multiracialism, but it's the way multiracialism is being translated into practice in terms of representation of certain communities like Indians, I think. Indians.
So you say that the reality is you need to have an Indian-focused party to fight for Indian interests, Indian community interests.
Now, our focus is more on the disempowered segment of the community. Yeah, we are talking about, you know,
yes, because it's not homogenous, the Indian community, right?
It's not homogenous, and economically, you find that 75% of the community are members of the working class.
Okay,
and you know, whether you're talking about ethnic parties in the past, or whether you're looking at the multiracial parties, with in reference to the two political organizations, they have not been able to address this effectively. So I gave it a lot more thought about it. I thought about it even before, say, a few years back. Mm.
You've been thinking about this for a while.
About it, yeah. And when I resigned in August this year, and many thought and many criticized that I was just a sour grapes. That because...
How do you respond to that? There have been speculation that the formation of Urumai is because of your... personal circumstances, the fact that you were not fielded in GE15 in this last day elections, and that you had resigned from the party. How would you respond to that?
I think this is quite natural. The minute, you know, when I was not fielded, but I knew I won't be fielded months back. I knew about that. And then, you know, all I asked the party before, maybe I want to serve one more term. That's all, no? And apparently the party did not accept it. And I was informed after they have made the decision. They are not fielding me. But no, that thing is really is a water under the bridge now. Yeah? But people can think whatever they want to think. But the idea of forming a party to addressing the serious gaps was something that I was thinking about many years back. I'm talking about even 5 to 6 years back. There have been number of requests for me to form an Indian-based party to focus on the grievances of Indian community, especially the underclass. So I have been thinking about it, and I have been discussing with some of my friends and so on and so forth. But I think the decision actually to leave DAP was not because I was dropped. See, I don't have to leave the party. If I have remained the party, I would have been a Datu Sri now. Who knows that I might be even given a post in a JLC.
Oh, that's a whole other conversation to
have.
Yeah.
So I you know, I'm not the least concerned. You know, okay. I'm not interested in all these awards and so on, these things. But I felt I had a duty towards Indian community, not so much as an ethnic community, but more in class terms.
Okay.
Yeah, class terms.
So
the party we are going to register is a party, is an open membership. It's all races. But it's Indian based. It's not the multiracial we are talking about. It's a multiracialism that has been practiced. We want to avoid that. We want to avoid falling into the same entrapment. Yeah. And so I think we are talking about, you know, call it Urumai in Tamil. Basically, it's rights. It's nothing pertains to a particular ethnic community. It'll be Indian-based. It'll be Indian-focused. But that focus is on a particular segment of the Indian society. You're talking about the working class and the underclass.
So you said you've been thinking about this for a while, 5-6 years.
Yes.
That would take us back to maybe even the Najib era,
yes.
Or even the Pakatan Harapan 1.0 era,
true.
You were in government at that time.
I was in government. I was in government for 15 years.
So why do you think now that Pakatan Harapan, meaning PKR and DAP, have failed the Indian community?
I think that's a very relevant question. Why now? Why not before? Basically, now you have reached where, you see, the last state elections, six states, at least about 25% of Indians deserted Pakatan Harapan.
Okay.
25% of Indians. The Chinese are still very much intact in terms of supporting the DAP and very much supportive of PH. You see, I was one of the ardent supporters of Anwar Ibrahim. Yeah? In fact, I have been very, very critical of Mahathir when he refused to let go, let Anwar assume the post of prime ministership. And Anwar knows that. I was a very ardent supporter of Anwar Ibrahim. But I'm disillusioned with Alwa now. I'm dejected by his leadership because I think he is not what he projected himself.
Can you be specific, Doctor?
Yeah, I think Anwar is basically a populist. That's nothing personal, Brahma. Coming from a person who was an ardent supporter of Anwar, even one year back. So now I am very disillusioned, not just with Anwar, with the Pakatan Harapan government, the component parties in Pakatan Harapan, DAP, and you're talking about PKR, and the alignment with UMNO. I am very disillusioned, but I don't think this is a way that addresses the concerns of all Malaysians, irrespective of race or religion. And you can understand why today the popular Malay support has gone to PAS and Bersatu. In fact, Anwar has no Malay support at all. No Malay support. PKR is just another party that wants to pretend to be UMNO. And the only party that has a loyalty of the Chinese and to some extent Indians is the DAP. You see, I consider DAP has already reached a particular situation in society where they can't do much for the non-Malays. And the only basis for the Chinese to support the DAP is because they believe that DAP is a bulwark against PAS. They fear that PAS, so they build. But I don't think DAP can actually protect the non-Malays as such, because they can't at the moment. So I think today DAP leaders are in power and position in Penang, maybe at the Exco in Negeri Sembilan, in Selangor. They have about four federal ministers. But what can they do? I mean, why pretend that you are the defender of the non-Malays?
So,
you are not.
So let's focus specifically on the Indian representatives,
yes.
Indian MPs. So
yes.
Anwar's Unity Government has 11
yeah.
Indian MPs from DAP, PKR and yeah. MIC. So that's 5% of the 222 MPs
yeah.
in
yeah.
Parliament.
Yeah.
Why do you think that's still not enough to fight for the interests of the Indian
it's
community?
Not about the number of Melissa, not about the number of MPs, you know, the number of state assemblymen, a number of exco members, you know. It's a question of quality of the leadership. You see, I don't find any Indian leaders, either the MPs or state assemblymen or members of the exco, actually voicing the concerns of Indian, because the minute they are in power, I think they have to, toe the line, so to speak. So I don't think they're raising issues that are very pertinent to the Indian community. See, in January, I raised the issue of civil service appointments. You know, there was a hue and cry.
I remember.
I mean, I have raised this so many times in the past. You know, I was basically saying that, 90% are Malays. What is the problem if they can actually increase the non-Malay intake in the civil service? And the way they projected, I'm asking to break the domination of the Malays. I never said those things, you know. And Anwar was upset with me. UMNO was upset with me. I was still in the government, you know. The DAP was upset with me. And it is at that particular period in time, I think the DAP, decided that I should be removed.
So, how would a new party, which you say is going
yeah.
to be independent, right?
Yes.
So not aligned to
exactly.
any coalition.
Yeah.
How would a new independent political party allow for you to champion those
Melissa,
concerns?
At the moment, my council members and others, we are not so much interested in taking question of becoming MPs or ADUNs or EXCO members. Basically, we want to establish a base with the Indian community, in particular the working class. And that's the most important. We have to build the strength. And we want to be independent of Pakatan Harapan. We want to be independent of PN. But still, I have friends in PN. I mean, I still might even have friends in Pakatan Harapan, although they might not be, agreeable to some of my views. But I want to build a base. This is what I was saying. Now, we have applied for registration
okay.
To RS, And I think it will take time. I don't know when they will approve the registration. But at the same time, I want to start this party as a movement first.
Okay. Yeah,
as a movement where we will go from state to state, from town to town, from kampung to kampung, to actually tell what the party stands for.
Okay. The other thing is that the concern that has been raised
yes.
is that there are so many other Indian political
yes.
parties. There's talk about, I think, a new Indian-based political party might be set up sometime later
month.
How do you respond to the fact that it's a really, that there's potential fragmentation of what is already such a small voter base? I know you say you're not thinking about the votes at this point in time, but the point of a political party is representation in politics, representation in the halls of power, right?
Yeah.
How do you address that?
Yeah, I think this question has been, you know, one of the reasons is the Indian community is heterogeneous, is community is divided and all these things. But I have actually addressed all these issues in my writing. You know, daily I write on these things. In fact, I even wrote an article saying, you know, is it a crime to form Urmai? See, fundamentally, it's my constitutional right. It's a constitutional right of me and members to form a political party, the right to associate.
Yes,
no?
A right to association, yeah.
I mean, we have a number of Indian political parties. Can you name one effective political Indian party? Can you name me? None. I'm not bad-mouthing them. I don't even say anything about them. The only party that comes to mind is MIC. I think MIC is weak now. You know, I know some of them are my friends this week. So the question is, you might have many parties, you might have these leaders and so on, but my question is there any political party in this country, forget about Urmai at the moment, that they can actually voice out and articulate on the concerns of the Indian community without fear or favour?
So what insights or lessons would you take from their, your, as you claim, their failures, their shortcomings? What would you learn from their experiences and avoid this time, avoid those pitfalls?
Yes. Most important thing, I think, if you want to create a political party or political movement, I think the support must be there. The base must be there. You cannot join just a coalition just because you think that you will get the support. And once you join a coalition, and then if you don't get the support, then you will actually exist as far as the coalition leaders allow you to exist. So today, I think the problem with the Indian leadership in this country is basically, I think, many of them are dependent on the leaders in the coalition political parties. And my question is, to what extent they have the grassroots support? I really wonder what extent. This is a problem. I think even when you're talking about UMNO, I mean, does UMNO has grassroots support? Do the Malays support UMNO? Do the Indians? What about Indian support for MIC? What about the Indian support for other Indian-based political parties? So I think the minute you're divorced from the rank and file, that the problems are, then you become dependent on the coalition leaders. Whether they're, you know, this is something that we want to avoid. You know,
okay.
We want to build a base. We want to go down right to the rank and file, and we want to make sure that Urmai is accepted by the rank and file. And today, I think we launched the party last week in Kuala Lumpur,
mm-hmm.
and we are going to launch it in Selangor.
Okay.
And we thought we get over 400 over participants at the launch, you know. So the reception so far seems good.
Okay.
But I can't say, you know, any further until...
For the rest of the country,
yes,
right?
Yes.
How are you going to get this grassroots support? What key policies or issues will you be intending to prioritize or to ensure that you
Thanks,
know,
Melissa.
You get support?
No, Melissa, I'm not a newborn baby in politics.
There are long-standing issues.
Yes, I have been in politics. See, even when I was a professor in UKM, the minute I came into this country, came back after my studies in 1981, I started my work with the working class Indians, non-Indians, and so on and so forth. And I retired from UKM in 2005, mm. 2005, and the same year I joined the DAP. So I was from 1981 until 2005. I was not involved in party politics, but I was involved in the larger politics. Politics is not just party politics. No? I was involved in the struggle of the working class, the peasants, and so on and so forth. So 2005, I joined the DAP. I was 2 years in Singapore and came back. And then I was invited by the DAP to contest the Batakawan parliamentary seat. No? So you have
all this experience.
How would you
funnel that experience into crafting policies that will benefit the Indian community?
Well, just one more thing. Ramasamy is not an unknown name in Malaysia or in the Indian community. No? I think, you remember, I lost this defamation case with Zakir Naik.
That's right, and Zakir, you crowdfunded.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not a.
Was it 1.5 million?
Yeah, I didn't. I'm not a rich politician, by the way, and I had no other way except to go for crowdfunding, and I raised the money within 6 days, 1.52 million, which we have already paid the lawyers. So I think that is also an indication. I think many, you know, I was not sure that I would get that kind of a support. It's not just about the money, it's about the support that I got. No? And but the party, formation of the party was decided long before that. No?
Okay. Yeah. So when you say that the name Ramasamy is not unfamiliar to many in Malaysia, how are you going to ensure that Urume is going to be, the leadership of Urume is going to be representative of the diverse Indian community, and it doesn't become an extension of the personality politics that we see entrenched in Malaysia?
Sometimes you cannot avoid personality politics. Melissa, I'm 74 years old now. I hope to be active for another 10 or 15 years, hopefully, if my health is fine. And I have my other friends and leaders who will come in. So I think it's a question of staying there sometimes and doing this public service, which I think. So I'm not, but at the same time, it should not be personality driven. But you need a personality at some point to galvanize, to move. I think whether I like it or not, I think my role has been an important factor in terms of pushing this new formation. Mm. But I have other friends who will be coming in, and I think there's been quite a tremendous support that is coming in.
Okay.
But ultimately, I always say this, it's better to fail, better to try and fail rather than fail without trying. And I believe you have to put in a lot of work. You have to be with the people, and you have to take up the issues. And today, as I was traveling from Penang to Kuala Lumpur, I already had 3-4 issues coming to me.
Okay. So in the couple of minutes that we have left, I want to know, how would you deem it a success, this movement, this political party, Urume? What would you say, you can sit back and say, oh, I think we've been successful in our objectives, and not be like the other parties who started out as one thing and then, 18 years later becomes something else?
The biggest mistake the other political parties, whether the Indian political parties or others, you have to start it as a movement, not just straight away jump into a political party. And I am actually giving the space, we will go as a movement and then eventually register it as a political party. By going for a movement, I think we can capture the dynamics of the society and the support. Ultimately, our strength, and whether we are going to last or not, is going to be on the basis of support we receive from the Indian community as well as non-Indians. A lot of issues that I'm going to take up, it is not about Indians, it's also about Malaysians, about the educational system, about the issue about citizenship, the issue about the economy, is about the social issues. This actually spans the entire... The, the, the entire society, Malays, Chinese, and Indians. I cannot deal. You know, a resolution of the Indian problem also expects support from the non-Indians, Malays, Chinese, and all. So I don't have that very narrow, myopic view of political representation, because I think the leadership is, and I have, you know, in fact, I had some discussion with even Hamza, Dr. Sri Hamza Zainuddin, you know, these issues and everything. And we were asking about, you know, what kind of Indian representation, what is the agenda for PN for Indians, and so on and so forth. And suddenly people said, hey, Ramaswamy is joining PN. So I think I'm open. We are going to be independent. And then we will make a decision at the critical juncture.
Well, thank you for coming on the show and telling us a little bit about this new movement that you are starting.
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you.
That was Dr. P. Ramaswamy there, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching. Good night.